for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Is that everybody? Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, giving you reasons to feel good. And that music just always does it every time. So we are basically here to bring you exceptional authors who express their experience through writing. Oh, lots and lots of writing. And then they come on here to share all the goodies that can help you with your holistic happiness. And as we continue week two of Your Shift Matters, Resistance to Resilience. I love that. I love saying it. I love saying it with the emotion that's right there, because how many of us have so much resistance, and we definitely want to say, we know it's for a good reason. And if that can be the only thing that helps you where you are right now, then that is just perfect, because today's show is a bit heavy, but I couldn't imagine two lighter, more joyful, happy little souls, co-writers that I have with me today, and to help you with these things that are really heavy. We've got two brave, resilient women. They're authors. Their bright lights share just offer this kind of support where you may be, and I'm going to say some heavy stuff here, and we have to do that because I want to share the light on it, but we are going to be talking a little bit about like what they've been through and then how to get you through it. So everything from sexual molestation, shock, like, oh my gosh, shock, fear of death, that's huge, violation, who out there is feeling violated right now, your feelings of worthlessness. No, that's a big one, you know what, because that can be on so many different levels, and we're going to walk through them. But the big one, and I really, really want to talk about this one with these ladies, is a lack of voice. Now, I'm stopping there because it could go through the list, but the lack of voice was something that really hit me when I thought about enjoying the time with these two lovely authors. Because when you think about, oh, you know, I wish I had a voice, or I want to give somebody a voice, there's a couple steps there, and I'm going to be asking them how they walk through these steps, which they don't know I'm asking, but I'm going to. Because, first of all, we have to be able to hear our voices, or, like, hear it, like, amongst all the noise and the, like, just the clutter that's around us. And then we actually have to like our voice. We have to know that it's good. And that allows us to trust our voice, and then we can start using it. So I've got two incredible authors. I love how brave they are in sharing their story. So I'm going to say their names, and then I'm going to say hello, and then I'm going to let you know about them. But we have Anza Goodbar and Vera Stark on the line with us right now. Hello, ladies.
Hi, hello. Lisa.
Hello. No, this is going to be fun because we're doing this all together, because you two are actually, you've become friends through this process of writing and doing the chapters in an anthology together.
Yes, we actually were friends before the book, and the book just kind of cemented our friendship even deeper.
Yeah, oh, good.
Oh, see, and you know what? That's another thing that when we do use, I love that you said that, when we do use our voice, others who are, you know, we attract that energy and that friendship and the people around that can really support us. Because one of you is in BC, and the other, where are you, Anza, in the U.S.?
I am in Denver, Colorado.
Okay. Ah, see some beautiful views there, I'm supposing.
Gorgeous views.
No. Well, let me start with Anza. I'm going to share with you about Anza. Anza Goodbar, it's a fun name. Her gift is in influencing people to identify their passion and reach their full potential. Her profound interest in understanding what causes people to feel worthy, visible, and fulfilled gave her the strength to face life's challenges head on.
Through intensive training and education, she has discovered how to love herself unconditionally, remove the shame of sexual and physical abuse from her story, God, I can't wait to talk about that part, and inspire others by rising above circumstances. That is a great one. And right now, because I get so excited when I read these bios out loud, Ancestors is currently empowers her clients to overcome their fears and create deeper, more intimate relationships from the boardroom to the bedroom through private coaching, mastermind groups, love them, public speaking, and couples retreats. Oh, fun, fun, fun. Hi, Angela. Welcome again.
Thank you so much.
Oh, and then let me share about Veer, because we are going to do this all together. So Veer Stark, it's okay. Veer is a spiritual life coach, soul realignment practitioner, that, an intuitive energy healer. She lives in British Columbia, Canada, with her husband, and through a tremendous desire and determination to overcome her own life situation, Veer used her own ability to heal herself from the emotional trauma she was experiencing. And I know a lot of people's ears are perking up on that one. As a result of her own growth and healing, she realized by changing her inner world, she was experiencing a different outer world. Reminds me of a Wayne Dyer there. This was a defining moment in her decision to pursue her passion as a spiritual life coach and energy healer. Veer has worked with hundreds of women on a global scale, helping them to transform their lives spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Her diversified skills have helped her to assist her clients through their difficulties so they can create a more empowered life for themselves. Welcome, Veer.
Aw. Hey, thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Aw. You know, just when I do, each chapter that I read in this book, which is, by the way, everybody, this is a series of Your Shift Matters, from resistance to resilience. Everybody has their own, we call them resistance, but I'm going to pick Veer here for this one. Veer, when I talk about resistance and I read your chapter, let's say it like directly, this was a resistance that you had. We always think it's about our outer world, and you had come to find out that it was really your inner world. And how do we get to that point where we have the courage, I guess, to look inward and realize that it's not about our conditions, not about the outer world?
Well, I think, Lisa, you know, it comes with time, for one thing. I didn't always feel that way, for sure. And I think through my determination to find out what was missing in my life, because I always felt there was something missing. There was something that just wasn't right. And, you know, through my experiences, I realized that, and I started to work a lot with personal growth. And I read and I went to seminars and workshops. I did everything I possibly could to try to understand what was going on within me. Because I knew, I just had a feeling that there was more. You know, there was more, and that there was just a piece of inside of me that was missing, which is what the title of the book is.
Yes.
You know? And so that was something that, you know, came to me through my personal development, right? So, yeah.
It's so interesting. I'm, you know, a lot of people thinking, have you ever been in that? You know, even listeners, you can tap into yourself and say, you know, you hear somebody telling you a story, maybe it's your child and they're lying to you, or they're not telling you something, but you're hearing a story, but you're like, something just doesn't, I'm missing something that would make this complete. I'm missing something that would make this whole story feel good to me. And whereas, and I'm jumping over to Anza now, I feel like, Anza, on your story, which we're going to talk a little bit about everything, is you had the opposite. You had people filling in the missing, you know, your whole, your space, that missing piece, and they were filling it with for everything from lies and betrayal and hurt and neglect. Mm-hmm. So, like, we can either have this emptiness, or we can have this filled up with crap kind of thing, right? So,
right,
Anza, how about,
right,
with you? Yes, like, so, Anza, how did you finally start hearing a voice tell you that, or did you always know, like, I've got, this is the wrong stuff that's filling me up?
I think I always knew, but being able to tap in and really own it when there were so many other voices saying, you know, you've blown it, you're never going to amount to anything, you're going to live a life of poverty and despair, and, you know, you're going to pass that on to your children and their children. It was really hard. But I think there was one high school teacher, her name was Dana Howie, and her voice was louder than everybody else's voice in my head. And she told me, you know, you can do anything that you want to do. You just have to believe it. And as long as you believe it, you will figure out how to get it done. And, you know, she told me because of my history, she said, you will live a life that is unconventional. You may live a life that the world looks at and sees as being backwards. But if you have the will to do something, I know that you're going to find a way. And whenever things were bleak and when other people were saying a lot of negativity, I knew that there was something inside of me that was born for greatness, because I believed what she saw in me. And I think when we go through life and there's a lot of adversity going on, if you can just cling on to that one person's words and believe in their words until you can fully own it and believe in yourself, it will take you so far in life. You just need that one cheerleader.
Yes. And, you know, I love that her name was Dana, because it's Dana Zarcone, who was the publisher of everything of this book. So that was kind of neat. Did you notice that?
Yes, yes.
And actually, in that, in what you just said, you actually just answered the question I posted on Facebook prior to the show, and it said, whose voice are you listening to? And I like to highlight that you just shared with us, it's the loudest one. And that being, I felt like that was a solid answer. Like, so everybody, this is so, I feel like so many people are listening who really need this help right now. And I want to give them all these little tips and cues from you guys who've done this. And Vera, if that is, say that's the truth. If the, whose voice are we listening to? And it is the loudest one. It's the one that we want to be listening to, the one that feels good, not the one that hurts us or leaves us in the dark. When, with your story, can you share a little bit about your story, why this was so important for you, and what path were you walking along when you were trying to get the right answers and fill in that piece?
Well, my story is basically starts, you know, as a child when I was growing up in a religious family, and there was a lot of beliefs, you know, that I had sort of learned. You know, because I'm a true believer that the majority of beliefs that we have are learned.
Yes.
And so because of that, there was a lot of things that I was hanging on to in regards to my religious background, God, you know, all of that, the church. So I chose to write about this, and although it's a very deep, it's very deep, and I was really a little bit apprehensive of writing about it in the beginning. I knew there was a lot of people out there that I had talked to that were actually experiencing a lot of the same thing. So it's really about, you know, the fear, you know, starting out and having all these beliefs and how these beliefs turned into fear, and just how it really affected my life, you know, and being able to, you know, and also being that child who felt bullied sometimes, you know, because I never felt accepted by other kids. As far as the voice go, I never had a voice. Because I always did what everybody else wanted me to do. I always said what everybody else wanted me to say. And that was because I felt that was the only way that I could be accepted.
Wow. And no, there's worthy. That's a whole worthy thing right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And Anzo, with that on, in the same thing with you, because, and we have the show to get into everything, but I just want to say, when somebody, did you feel that you just weren't worthy of hearing your voice, or you just didn't feel worthy to express your voice?
Well, I think that because of the sexual molestation that I went through, I felt like I was expendable. I felt like there was something missing in me that made me less than, because if I was worthy, the people who should have been protecting me would have protected me. And so for me, it was, even though I knew I had a voice, I didn't think anyone would listen to my voice. Well, and they didn't, you know, even when I spoke up and said what was happening, it was always shifted aside, you know, and it wasn't until later, as I was an adult, that, you know, other members of my family said, well, we knew something was happening, but we didn't think it was our place to step in. You know, you weren't a part of our inner family. So, you know, and it was like, well, when isn't it the right time to step in and protect a child? Especially if you know that a sexual molestation or sexual abuse is going on, you know, it's always, it doesn't matter if you are a family member or a friend or a teacher or a social worker, you always stand up and advocate for a child who doesn't have a voice yet. And so, you know, that made me feel, even going into adulthood, that I was less than. I always felt like I had to work harder. I had to study more in order just to feel equal, which equality never really came until, gosh, in my late 40s. I mean, it took me a long time to work through the shame of what had happened. And it took a lot of healing through conversations with my mother. And actually, that kind of came about because I had a friend whose mother was dying, and I was watching her going through this agony. And I thought, you know, my mom didn't protect me when I needed her to protect me the most. And if she, and we were estranged for many, many years because of that. And I thought, you know, I don't want to be that woman that doesn't feel horrible, you know, grief when my mother dies. And that was really what brought us back together, was that phone call, wanting to be able to reconnect and figure all of this out many, many years later.
Ooh, let's stop there on the phone call, because we have to sneak away to commercials, but we just touched on so many fears that I think from both of you that a lot of listeners are connecting with. So we're going to come back and how to get over those fears.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I can't really be that worthless. I can't really be that stupid, weak, fearful, unlovable. I just really can't be that broken. Wow, those beliefs have slammed the door shut on my heart, stopping me from stepping into my greatness. Does this sound all too familiar to you? What if those beliefs aren't true? What if those false beliefs are creating resistance and blocking you from your own success, your power, and your happiness? What if you could break down the walls of doubt and rise from resistance to resilience? Well, now you can. Just like 11 other women overcame impossible odds with courage, strength, and determination. The truth is, your shift matters, and you're not alone. And others share their story to help guide you along your freeing experience to confidence, joy, and love. Tune into Light on Living's Your Shift Matters series to hear from 8 of the 11 co-authors of the number one bestseller on Amazon, Your Shift Matters, Resistance to Resilience, compiled by Dana Zarcone. Get your copy, read their stories, then join us as we get to experience their inspiring words personally.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, welcome back, everyone. We are scooting along right here, and we are talking to two of the co-authors. We have Vera Stark and Anza Goodbar, and they are co-authors in the series Your Shift Matters, Resistance to Resilience. And, I mean, this book really takes you all over the map, and I love there's a post on Facebook from one of the readers who you've picked up the book, and I love that she commented that she just really has to sit. You can't read one chapter after the other. First of all, it takes you on an emotional roller coaster. It seriously does. Each one of your stories, ladies, are so powerful. And I want to just let the listeners know right now, if you haven't read the book, Vera talks about a story with her really religious base and what other people's beliefs can not drown out your own voice, but just not seem right, perhaps, and then take you down a path that's not right for you. And then we have Anza, who really went through a very difficult time with sexual abuse from loved ones and people not defending her, and then growing up finding a feeling not worthy. And I think I would love to sit on that point of worthiness right now, because both of you, and I want to ask each one of you this, I know in my life, if I didn't feel worthy, there are things that I wouldn't do, because I wouldn't feel worthy. Like, I just wouldn't have the life I do. I wouldn't reach out to take care of others in the way that I do. Anza, when you went from not feeling worthy and just striving to get, you know, perfectionism, you know, trying to people please, trying to do this to stand up and prove and go, it's me, I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. Did you ever succeed by doing it that way?
You know, I think that my motivation was really, I want to prove you wrong. Because, you know, when I got pregnant at 16, everyone told me I had thrown my life away and that I no longer had any potential. And it was like, how do you go from being a straight A student that you see anything is possible for me to all of a sudden I have no potential and no hope of any happy future? And so for me, there was a lot of, I'm gonna prove you wrong. I'm gonna show you what I'm made of. You know, the life that you have declared for me is not the life that I see for myself, and it's not the life that I'm dreaming of. And, you know, again, I really embraced Dana's words that I didn't have to live my life the way everybody else did. And I truly didn't. You know, I became a mother at 17. I got married when I was 16. And I lived my life very backwards compared to the way a lot of my classmates did. But, you know, I ended up with a happy ending. I lived the life that other people only dream of. You know, I've traveled the world. I've lived outside of the U.S. I have four amazing kids. I have owned many multi-seven million-dollar businesses. My kids are my best friends. I have an amazing grandchild. I had a dream of being a ballroom dancer, and I was a competitive ballroom dancer for 5 years. I have, you know, studied with international, renowned, you know, dance instructors. And so, you know, none of the things that these close-minded people saw and foretold of my life is whatever happened. You know, you just have to have a motivation and dig deep. And I always wanted to be a journalist. I always wanted to write. I always wanted to speak. It just took me a long time to figure out what my story was. You know, what would people really listen to? And once I figured that out, you know, my whole world just unlocked. And it's been an amazing journey to see how powerful it is to get rid of the shame in your story. You know, for a long time, I didn't want to share my story because I was afraid of what people would think of me, how they would judge me, how they would limit me. And, you know, once I gained the courage to be visible and share openly and honestly, it's brought so many layers of healing to myself, but it has also inspired other people to face the shame and their issues of unworthiness and the issues of not feeling that they're living up to their potential and being able to raise the visibility in their own life. Because we all have issues. We all have trials and tribulation in our life. None of us are exempt. They're just different for everybody. And being able to have a safe container for people to be able to share, just like the space that you've created for us here this morning, allows people to have the courage to speak their truth, to share their story, and that brings healing to them as well.
It does. Oh, first of all, Anza, I like that biography better. <It's a> wonderful, amazing. Like, oh my God, it's uplifted. And I love that. Oh, the most beautiful thing about that is that people, like, I love what you said, how other people limit us. And you just stepped right out of there. I'm like, whoa. Forget that. I'm doing this and this and this. A fun way to look at the life in such a beautiful way. And so, Vera, that same kind of question, did you, your motivation to find that missing piece of information and to break free from there, it actually led you to a very cool thing. I am so excited to share this. It's in your bio, too, that what gave you the courage to and worthiness, realize your worthiness, that you could look at yourself and heal yourself. Like, can you share that story about that? Because that was a serious diagnosis, and somebody came along and added some love in that recipe and fixed it.
Well, to be honest with you, for me, my motivation was really about discovering myself, you know, finding out who I was and really getting a sense of that. Really made a difference in my life and how everything unfolded after I did discover myself. And I really, you know, Lisa, I really believe that in the end, love is always what wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being in a state of love, and, you know, so many people, you know, we look at love, and I used to look at love as just something, you know. Yeah. I never looked at it as a state of being, you know. It's not about looking outside yourself for love. It's about finding love within yourself. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to that's what really motivated me, you know, to be able to move forward in my life, because I was stuck, you know. Mm-hmm. I was really stuck. And I didn't know, you know, I didn't know how to move forward. I didn't know where to go. And once I found that, you know, I realized that things were changing so much in my life. And as I said in the book, I was diagnosed with COPD. And that was a couple years ago now, about a year ago, year and a half ago. And
can you tell people what that is?
COPD is a chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. So okay. it's a disease of the chest, like it's an infection, and there's no cure. They usually say it's caused from smoking, and I mean, I used to be a smoker years and years ago, but never, you know, never to the point that I would ever thought that I would ever be diagnosed with that. And I had always been healthy. That, you know, I'm so blessed with my health because I've always been extremely healthy. And when I had a diagnosis of COPD, I was totally shocked. And you know, I thought to myself, okay, you know, this is not going to get me. You know, I'm not afraid of this. And you know, I had always been afraid of death. And a lot of that was because of my religious upbringing. Death was something I was terrified of. And I was terrified of that until I was probably in my middle 30s before I finally overcome that part of my life and was able to accept death as something, you know, more than what I thought it was. And I realized, you know, when I got this diagnosis, I realized that I wasn't afraid of dying. It wasn't the fear of death. There was a fear, but it was the fear of having to change things in my life. You know, what am I going to do? Right? You know, how will I live my life with this sort of thing? And I don't know, I was sitting one day in meditation and this feeling came over me and I thought, no, I'm not letting this beat me. I am not, you know, I have love, you know. Mm-hmm. And I really always believed that love was powerful and love was the power. And I read a book once that Marianne Williamson had written called Love is the Power, or not Love is the Power, sorry, Return to Love. And in that book, it literally changed my life in regards to feeling love for myself and knowing that love is something internal and not something outside of us. Mm-hmm. And so I started working with myself. I started healing myself, and I did that just by bringing love into my body. And I worked on myself and did that for 2 weeks, and then I realized that something was different. I realized that I wasn't having symptoms. And I carried on again for another week, and I was due to go back the following month for another testing, and they never found anything.
And fascinating.
Yeah, and I went for, you know, and I mean, I just didn't go for a chest x-ray. I mean, I would, you know, after that, the doctor couldn't figure out, you know, he said, wow, like that, it's not there. You know, so
right.
Even he was like, sort of.
It wasn't a misdiagnosis. It was truly diagnosed.
No, not yeah. No. It was, yes, absolutely. It was truly. I had two X-rays because the first one came back, and I said, you know what, this isn't right. Something's not right here. And they did another chest X-ray because the first one had shown a spot on the lung. And I said, something's not right here. And the doctor said, no, we're going to do another chest x-ray. And then went back again, and it was still there. Like, they still, you know, diagnosed me with COPD. So that was two chest x-rays.
Right.
And then after that, just to make sure, you know, after I had the x-rays and the doctor, you know, was sort of shocked, he sent me for some other tests just to make sure, and nothing showed up. So...
I think that you should get a t-shirt that says love is a state of being. I love that.
Yeah.
I actually have I've drawn a little t-shirt here. I'm like, oh, I'm so getting that. It's going to be different. and you know, I think that, and people can call that whatever, you know, a miracle, but love is a miracle. And actually that was one of the things I first got from both of you. When I was reading, I'm going to be bold and come right out with this. There was a very strong thing that you shared in your story about somebody asking you something, and I cannot imagine actually facing what you face with somebody looking at you right in the eye and asking you, like, what if I were to, like, and I'm saying it nicely, but like, what if I were to really hurt you? Somebody's looking right at you and say, what if I was to rape you? What would you do? Stand there and hear those words and then be asked, like, okay, great, somebody's going to really hurt me, what would I do? I have a weird question. Did that inspire in that moment maybe the answer that you needed to ask yourself, okay, what would I do? Was that helpful in a weird way for you to flick on a light switch? Just, okay, what would I do? What am I going to do?
You know, in some ways it was because it was a moment that was very power robbing, yet at the same time very empowering. Because I knew that in that moment, I was out in the country. There wasn't anyone that was going to hear me scream. screaming wasn't going to help. You know, and as I share in my story, the person, my stepfather, was like 400 pounds. And so when he had me pinned on the bed, his chest was on my chest. There wasn't just like this person above me. He was physically on me, crushing me. And it was like, if I can get out of here alive tonight, you know, I'm not ever going to have to go back to this. There's a change that will come in the morning, you know? And so there was a part of me that knew that it was this sick mind game that he was playing, that, you know, I didn't feel like he was going to actually rape me that night. It was more about making me retreat and feel small. And, you know, and even though I knew that innately as a 16-year-old girl, I look back at that now as a grown woman, and I see how that impacted other relationships in my life. You know, that impacted my weight throughout my life. Anytime I felt threatened by an inappropriate conversation with a male, I would retreat into being that frightened 16-year-old girl. You know, I would put on 65 pounds, like no problem, to become invisible and to hide. And that was my way of finding safety and protection. And for a long time, I believed that that was my power, you know, was being invisible when instead of being able to stand up. Yeah. And it wasn't until I started working with – oh, go ahead.
Oh, sure. Because we're gonna the commercials are gonna start, and I have no control over that. But when that was a huge. I want to pick up when we come back. I want to pick up there, but also too, I do want to ask both of you about healing, forgiveness healing. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, how people can do that as well. Okay, back in two minutes.
Sure.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets, and they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Gosh, I love those commercials. That was a new one, actually. I was so excited. And I'm wondering if that little dog was playing that keyboard. But welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we have two, I love them, just strong and loving co-authors with us today. We have Vera Stark and Anza Goodbar, and just so these conversations are so helpful for somebody tuning in and really just they can be at every stage, as we talked about in the beginning. Everybody goes through resistance, challenges, things. And what can happen is we get hurt, and whether we're made to be felt like we feel small or vulnerable. And then we go into this, hopefully, how do I protect myself? And so we were talking with Anza. Anza had decided that, you know what, I'm going to become invisible. And how she was able to do that was to put on 65 pounds at a time. And I want to pick it up from there, because you're just going to go into the next part to say, like, so here you are. This is actually hurting you. Becoming invisible is not sharing your voice and not expressing who you are from love. So take us from that point where you are there.
Awesome. Well, I started working with a life coach. And last year I got really sick where, you know, when we talk about having our voice, I had bronchitis, I had croup, I had laryngitis that lasted for 28 days. I couldn't utter even a whisper. And during that time, I had a lot of time to think. And I started piecing together every time I struggled with my weight, I could tie it back to an inappropriate instance with a man. And once I was able to connect those dots, one, I was able to offer up forgiveness to myself for not treating my body the way it should have been treated, and for not, you know, living up to my own full potential by retreating. And so we talked about ways that I could get my power back. What were other ways that I could learn how to feel safe and empowered without hiding and retreating? And I have to tell you, I mean, that was a pivotal point in my life. I started taking kickboxing lessons, and I started feeling powerful in a new way, and I was able to start shedding weight, which, as you can imagine, helped with my feelings of worthiness, my feelings of self-love, my body image, but more importantly, my ability to be visible and to be able to claim my voice and speak my truth and share my story. And, you know, in the last year, I've been either on a podcast or published in a blog or quoted in an article almost 60 times in the last 12 months. And so my world really opened up and changed, you know, finding a new, healthier way. In 12 months. Yeah. In the past 12 months, I think 57 times. Yeah. It's incredible.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you guys are making me want to jump to my question from the end, and I'm going to do this because you just shared that. And Vera, I would love to ask you, I'm jumping, but I'm so excited now. I was going to ask you, like, since you guys have both written these chapters and it's been published, how has that, you might have been afraid, like you were saying before, Vera, I was kind of leery about sharing this publicly and doing this. Well, so did your fears come true, or have you had good results like Anza?
No, actually, you know, one of the things that I learned from this book, because one of the things that I always had an issue with was vulnerability, you know, because I never spoke up. I always kept everything inside of me, you know, and I didn't always listen to my feelings. And so when I was, you know, when I started listening to my feelings, it allowed me to be able to write. And from that, probably the most amazing gift that I've gotten from writing this book is the gift of vulnerability.
Oh. Okay, you have to expand on that a little bit more, because that's very intense.
Yeah, it really allowed me to be able to share and be open. I've always been a very private person.
Yes.
I'm not one that shares a lot of my personal stuff with people. I think that's probably, goes back to my childhood again. But, it really allowed me to open up and to be able to share. And, you know, when I say it, you know, one of the greatest gifts was being able to be more vulnerable. You know, it's really been I've been able to move forward, in many, many ways. I've been coaching a lot more. I've been able to write more than what I did, because even writing was, I had a bit of a challenge, because I didn't want to share a lot of personal stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it really was, it really was a gift to be able to write this book. And I'm so excited about the next book now. And that wouldn't have happened.
The momentum of it.
Yeah.
Say that about vulnerable being a gift, that is so, if anybody's out there listening, here's a couple things I'd love if, and either one of you could answer this one. There are so many people out there that, yes, they have their story. And I love that you said it allowed you to share more and then move forward. Now, doesn't mean that I've met people that share too much, let me tell you. Right? And there can be, okay, that we don't need to know everything at all the time, but there is a fine line of sometimes some things, my question is so deep here that I'm trying to grasp it. Something that could bring you shame. Is there a healing phase that is almost necessary to do prior to being able to write and share with the world, and then there's more healing to come after, or do you just throw it all out there and then the healing comes from there?
I think for me, Lisa, prayer is a huge thing for me. Mm-hmm. And it's something that has helped me through so much in my life. And knowing that, like I said, discovering myself and realizing that, it's okay. It's okay to share with people. It's not a bad thing, it's a great thing. And I've always lived my life to make a difference and to help others, like many of us do. And the only way that we can help is if we share our experiences. Mm-hmm. That's and true. I truly believe that. And the responses that I've got from my chapter is just, it's amazing. It's really opened me up to see that, it's almost making me cry. It's really allowed me to open myself up even more and share more with people. So, and make a bigger impact.
Vera said earlier, listen to your feelings. And I love that, because right now you had your emotion kind of welling up. And it's so true. When a lot of people say, listen to your heart, follow your heart. But I love that you were so very, you pinpointed it really, Vera, to listen to your feelings. And when you said that, Anza, to help, we must share. I'm going to quote you. I'm quoting you now. and that is so true. I actually thought about food. If somebody was in front of me and they were starving, in order for me to help them, I'd have to share food with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as somebody's hurting. We have to share feelings. And do you have something that you can share about that? I want to make sure I'm going back and forth, and I love this.
I love what Vera said about being vulnerable, because you have to be willing to be vulnerable. And we never know what's going on with the people that we're talking to. We never know who's hearing our story when we speak. And we're doing a disservice to the world if we don't speak our story. Because I have had so many people come up to me after I have shared a portion of my story, and they'll say, that spoke to me. There wasn't anybody else in my life that I have encountered that knows how I feel that has walked a similar path. And so when we are courageous enough to be vulnerable and share, we're helping other people by proxy start their own healing journey. And it encourages other people and it inspires them to say, you know what, I'm really stuck where I'm at. I don't know the next steps. But after hearing your story, I think I can find what that is. I think I know who I can go to, you know, to help me. And so we can't just own it as being our story. It isn't all about us. It's about the audience that we're sharing the story with as well.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful, actually. And with that, if this is the perfect time to share right now, you work with people, you both work with people. So if you were to each let people know, what is it you, who is the listener right now that you'd love to attract to either A, pick up, read the chapter and feel something, or to even work alongside with you?
For me, Lisa.
This is Anza.
Pardon me?
It's Anza, is it Vera? I can't tell.
Oh, this is Vera.
Oh. Vera, okay, Vera Stark. So I wanted the listeners to know, okay, we got Vera.
I know, we sound the same too. you know, for me, I love to work with people who are in that place of beginning their spiritual journey. Or maybe they want to begin it, they haven't actually got there yet, they're still experiencing a lot of fear around around different things in their life, the beliefs that they've grown up with, and just helping them by empowering them to just reach out and take hold of their spiritual power, because we all have a power within us that's greater than any power that you could ever even imagine. And I think, you know, once people understand that, and that's what I love to do. I love to help people understand that and help them to heal their fears. And we're always going to have fear, which is fine, because, you know, we have to know fear to know love. And the contrast, you know, there's always got to be a contrast in order for us to see what it is that we don't want, so that we can be clear about what we do want.
Absolutely. And with everybody there, if you're connecting with VR and you're resonating and you're thinking, yes, you know what, the corner of my life I'd love to work on is, you know, that spiritual path, and everybody can go to secretsofthesoul.ca. That's secrets with an S, secretsofthesoul.ca. And of course you can find Vera, on Facebook, of course. And then also, we've got 3 minutes left, so I can ask Anza, who would you work with best, and how can they get a hold of you?
Awesome. Well, I primarily work with women and couples who are at a transition point in their life. And, you know, it can have to do with communication issues, intimacy issues, sexuality issues, and being able to bring healing to their past. A lot of people in the empty nester stage find themselves having neglected their relationships, in spending time building their business, raising their kids, and they're at a point where, I don't know if I want to stay with this person. I don't know if I like them. I don't know if I like myself. I don't know who I am. And so I help people reconnect with themselves and with each other as a couple in a unit. And you can find me at www.anzagoodbar.com.
Oh, I love that you guys will share that, because, you know, there's always, I have had so many coaches, and not just coaches, like for me going through my life, I always have one or two coaches going on, but then there's also people who, like with you, you could just reach out, and even by reading your story, they could be inspired to love themselves or have the vulnerability and all that. I'm going to, you know, this is, we won't be able to, I'm going to have everybody, I'm going to put a cliffhanger here. I'm going to ask both of you, because I think you've inspired me to ask this question, both Anza and Vera, if you could post on Facebook your little quote about this, I would love for you to share what you would think the difference between, what that fine line is between vulnerability and being a victim. And I can repeat that later, because I think that one really hit for me, and I think the listeners would really appreciate finding out that difference and where their point is, because
Vera, you mentioned how vulnerability is a good thing, but victim is not. And we, and Anza, you certainly shared that. And I want to extend a thank you to both of you for sharing. It always flies, doesn't it? This hour, it's crazy. And just in our final few seconds there, I want to express a big thank you for you guys. And then let's keep this conversation going. Everybody can come to Facebook because we're really keeping all the authors. We've got two more amazing authors next week again on Monday at noon. And I would like, again, that question. If you are wondering the difference out there between vulnerability and victim, being a victim, victimhood, then please check that post out that they'll be, I'm giving them homework already. So thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you.
Bye, Anza. It's Anza Goodbar and Vera Stark, everybody. We'll see you next week on Light on Living. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day. Bye, everyone.
You too, Lisa. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.